Thank the Lord for his mercies again. It's through him that we live and move and have our being. I think about people, humans, what it is sometimes that kind of, if I can use the expression, what makes us tick. Why do we do the things that we do? Do you ever ask yourself why you do the things that you do? Hey, none of us. There isn't any of us that does everything right. We, sometime or another, we don't do things so good. I was thinking about a story I read some time ago about a man said he was over in Europe in one of the little towns, and he saw a man leading a bunch of hogs. You don't lead hogs. Hogs will go wherever they want to go, and they're hard to keep in a group, and they're hard to lead. But this man was leading them right down through the streets of a little small village, and he was leading them, and they were following. So he asked the man, he says, how you doing that? How do you lead a bunch of hogs? Well, they don't know where you're taking them. He said, well, what you don't see is, I got this bag here on my side, and it's got their favorite nuts in it. And he says, I just keep dropping the nuts on the ground, and they keep following me as I walk. And he was leading them straight to the slaughterhouse. They had no idea where they were going, but they were eating that fruit. They were eating that food that they loved, and I think that's what motivates people most of all, is things that we eat, our appetites, things that we enjoy. You know, in a sense, that is what pride is. I want you to think about pride for just a little bit. But turn with me over to the 16th chapter of Proverbs, and I'll read 4 verses. And then we'll finish our thought. I want to talk to you about the lessons of King Saul. The lessons of King Saul. It says in the 16th chapter in verse 18, we're all familiar with that. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. It's better, he said, to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Do you know that the first sin that entered into the heart of a man was pride? When she saw that tree look good and that it would make her wise as God, she went out and partook of it. The first thing that happened wasn't the act of partaking of the fruit. It was what got in her heart. What she had in her heart. This afternoon, I think the Lord wants us to consider a little bit about what it means to be humble. What it means to be lowly. You see, viewing ourselves in the mirror of self-importance reflects a distorted image. When we view ourselves of self-importance, it reflects a distorted image. Self-evaluation positions us for a fall. And every one of us need to look into the perfect law of liberty or the Word of God and examine ourselves, see where we are with the Lord in our walk of life. But one of the biggest problems that men have is pride. It really is. I heard of a ball player one time, professional ball player. He was talking about some of his buddies. And he says, how does that go? He was saying his own, a legend in his own time. He said, my friend, he's a legend in his own mind. And there's a lot of people out there today that really think they're something. They really feel that they're important, but you and I must always submit to the will of God and His working in our hearts and lives. You and I must always stay humble. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So I want us to consider a little bit. The scripture says, take heed lest he fall. Jesus came into the world and he didn't have to, but he came lowly. He came humble. And he came as a servant and he served. And that's what you and I ought to do, is serve and stay humble and lowly. But I want us to consider some thoughts about King Saul. And I want to turn over to the 15th chapter of the first book of Samuel. First Samuel 15. And I want us to consider some things here. See, King Saul, the Bible says he was head and shoulders tall above the rest. He was a man of high stature. He was a man after God gave him the importance of being the king over Israel. He let it kind of run to his head, if you will. And he became a legend in his own mind. And he realized that he had the power to say this and say that, do this and do that, and it would be done. But the Lord came along one day, and he said to him, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go. Now here's a message that God gave to Saul, the lessons of Saul. And he told him to go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And he came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. King Saul had a little bit of arrogance about him. And it proved out in the way that he handled things. Folks, it'll pay you and I, as God deals with us and works with us, to stay humble, to stay lowly. If you want to hear what God has to say, you stay low. It's humility will get you to heaven if you stay faithful and true. But he said here in the 17th verse, I want to skip on down now, after he had told Saul to utterly go and destroy. That's pretty simple instructions. It's easy for us to understand what God was saying here. He said, utterly go and destroy all that they have, spare them not, slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Slay them all. Kill all of your enemies. Lord, help us to be able to slay our enemies. But in the 17th verse, when Samuel came back around and they had went out and they had done their things, Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. Right off the bat, when Samuel came back after the battle had been fought, and was over, and he came back to King Saul, and he said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. You know, it's good for us. It's good for all of us. Never to forget what our beginning was. Never to forget where we came from. Never to forget and realize that you and I wouldn't be anything without the Lord today. If we're anything at all, if we have any power at all, if we have any grace at all, if we have any strength at all, it all comes from the Lord. And Paul was given a mission to go out and to destroy the enemy. You and I are given the same mission to go out and destroy our enemies. And he said, utterly destroy them all. And then Samuel comes back and he talks about the bleeding of the sheep and so forth, and how he realized that he had took some of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen and the chief things which had should have been utterly destroyed. And Saul made excuses. He said, the people did this. The people brought him back and offered him a sacrifice to God. But that's not what God told him to do. The Lord wants you and I to stay humble and to stay holy and lowly and take heed lest ye fall. We haven't gained heaven yet. We're working on it. But we haven't gained yet heaven yet. And he said, the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, verse 18, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord and didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Pride, arrogancy. Any time that I choose to go against God and what God has, the instruction God has given to me in my life, and I take it upon myself and my selfish ways to go against God, folks, it's pride. And it's arrogancy against God to take my own way and not do the things the way that God says for us to do it. Saul said to Samuel, yea, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. The people took of the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Does the Lord require sacrifice? Did he tell them to bring him to bring the spoils back, that he would sacrifice them unto God? No, he didn't. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Do you know sometimes our personal wants, our personal pride, our personal arrogancy, whatever you want to call it, can get in the way of us doing the complete and full will of God in our hearts and in our lives? It can get in the way. We can hinder what God wants to do as he works with us. And Samuel said, the Lord, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is hot as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Because he wasn't willing to follow the Lord, he was head and shoulders above the rest. He was tall, he was probably a big man, and he was king over Israel. He felt the importance, the authority that he had, but folks, we must stay little. Samuel said, when you were little in your own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of the king of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. When you were little, when you were humble. If you want success in your walk with the Lord, folks, stay humble. Stay lowly. Stay lowly before the Lord and let the Lord have His way and work His will in your life. I want to go back and I want to read that one more time. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Then he went on to say, understanding is the wellspring of life to him that hath it. May the Lord help us to understand this afternoon that God's way is best. God's will is best. He knows what he wants to do, and if he chooses to use you or me in doing what he wants to work out, Lord, help me to stay humble and in the place and do what God requires me to do. Keeping his commandments, keeping his word that he has given unto us. Obedience is the footer of your faith. You know that? In obeying the Lord, when you're doing what the Lord would have you to do, and you're doing His will, and you're obeying His will, it is the footer. It's the place that will hold your faith in place. That's what a footer does. It holds the foundation in place, and it will hold your faith in place that when your trials and your tests and the hard things come along in your life, it'll hold that in place that you can get the victory if you choose to do so, and if you'll stay humble and lowly before the Lord. Lord, help us to stay humble and lowly before the Lord. There's a problem that people have when they're prideful people. There's nothing wrong with achieving success. There's nothing wrong for achievement and success and to face challenges and overcome them. But we must stay humble and we must stay lowly before the Lord. I want to give you a New Testament account of what Jesus said. It's in Matthew, the 13th chapter. You see, those hogs remind me of people. They're just chasing after this, chasing after that, not realizing what they're chasing after or where they're going, but they're doing it because they like what they're doing. May the Lord help us today. Matthew, the 13th chapter and 11th verse. It says, wait a minute now, I'm not in Matthew, I'm in John. It says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now I want to point out here that the Lord had just spoken the parable about the sower. He went out to sow, and he went out to sow some seeds, and some fell by the wayside. You can read above that there. And the fowls came, and they devoured them all up. Some fell in stony places, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root and withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Folks, it's important. If King Saul would have kept his heart tender, would have kept his heart humble, kept himself humble before the Lord. When the word of the Lord came to him and told him what he must do, the best recipe he could have followed would be to follow what the Lord told him to do. And it's the same way with you and I. When the word goes forth, Lord, help us to have the good ground where we take the word in. It doesn't fall by the wayside. It doesn't fall in stony places, stony ground. It doesn't fall. We're so busy in the cares of life that we're not able to take it all in. It doesn't fall in those kind of places. But it's important that the word fall among us. I mean, in our hearts and in our lives. So the disciples said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Aren't you thankful this afternoon that you're special? We're special to the Lord. It's given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And he said, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now he went on to say, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias the prophet, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Listen to this verse. For the people's heart is waxed gross. The people's heart is proud. They're going to do this their own way. Now who was Jesus talking to here? Who did he come to? But he came to his own. The scripture tells us he came to his own and his own received him not. He was talking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were what kind of people? They were very proud people. They were proud of pride. They took a lot of pride in their religion and what they believed. You know, where'd the Pharisees come from? Where'd they show up from? They showed up from when children of Israel were in bondage. They showed up over there in Babylon and the Pharisees over there and got their own group together. But their hearts were hardened. And it says here, the people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. If we take the lesson of King Saul and we understand when the Lord speaks to our hearts and he gives us direction in our lives and a purpose for us, we need to take that and prayerfully consider that. Look, keep our hearts open, keep our minds open to what the Lord would have for us to do, because I don't know what I should do without the guidance of the Lord. I need the Lord to guide and work in my life. He said here, the people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes they've closed. I think about how callous that people are today. People don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to hear it. You look at family and your loved ones and how easy is it to talk to them about the things of God. They don't want to hear about the things of God. You know what a calloused heart looks like, folks? A callous is a hard place, isn't it? You get a callous on your hands and there's no feeling in it. And it's hard to reach down into the place where you can actually get some feeling because there's callous there. And that's the way people's hearts are today. They're waxed gross, it says. They're waxed hard against God. This old world has turned their back on the Lord. They've turned their back on the one that is able to deliver them. Turned their back on the one that really has the only remedy that we really need, and that's God. And he said here, these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they've closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Folks, let's not become calloused in receiving the Word of God. And when God specifies in His Word, you know, some people don't like to hear about doctrine, but doctrine it is. We need doctrine. We need constructive criticism, if you will. We need construction in our lives to keep us on track, to keep us on the right road. And we need those things. And may the Lord help us not to get calloused to the point where we're hardened. You've heard of the term gospel hardened, haven't you? Lord, help us not to get gospel hardened, but Lord, help us to keep our eyes open, our ears open, and our hearts open to receive whatever God has for us. This was after the parable of the sower. And that's what the Lord wants you and I to do, has not become calloused. But the Pharisees, they were too proud to hear what Jesus had to say. They made up their minds, didn't they? They had their minds already made up before Jesus ever came and talked to them. Do you have your minds made up? Do you know what you're going to believe? Are you going to be open to when the Lord speaks to you? King Saul would have been so much better off if he'd have done exactly what the Lord told him to do. The Lord was grieved that he'd even set him up to be king. And he immediately found someone else to take his place. And that was King David. The Lord wants obedience from each and every one of us. The Lord wants us to please him with our life. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. You know how valuable it is to hear the things that God has for us? Hear the parable. Hear the sower. Have your hearts open. Have your minds open. Have your eyes open. Have your ears open to hear what God has said for you. I want to shift gears just a little bit. I want to go back to Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter this time. And I want to consider someone else. We talk about the lessons of King Saul. He teaches me a lesson that it's good to obey what the Lord has to say. But King Saul, he had a son. And his name was Jonathan. And Jonathan is a type of what you and I ought to be today. This afternoon, we ought to be just like Jonathan was. Jonathan was King Saul's son. And according to tradition, we would say, and Jonathan knew that it was only right that he would be the next king, wouldn't he? Because he was the king's son. But God, Jonathan saw, see, there wasn't this pride there, there's arrogancy there. And Jonathan saw that God had his hand on David. He had his hand on little David. David had went out and he had fought the giant Goliath. And he had conquered him, and he knew that God had given him the victory. So in the 20 and 14, it says, and he went through the tribes of the children of Israel. Have I got that? I'm in 2 Samuel. Sorry. Let me get the right chapter. Fourteen. And he said, And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not. You see, Jonathan made a covenant. This is what it needs to come down to for you and I today, is making a covenant with God. Making a covenant that we will do His will, His purpose. And it's going to take His grace and His help and His mercy for you and I to do that. But it says, but thou also, verse 15, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David. Folks, he had to stay humble. He had to stay pliable before the Lord. He let the Lord work in his heart. He let the Lord work in his life. He recognized. He was in a place where he could recognize what God's will was and what God's purpose was. And so he just, it's called blooming in the right spot, if you will. That we bloom where God wants us to bloom. That we be what God wants us to be. That we grow where God plants us. That's what God wants to do with us. And he said, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as his own soul. Humbled himself in kindness and in love. And he made a covenant. And what does it say? Jonathan said to David, tomorrow, Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as his own soul. Folks, Jonathan was a humble young man. And he recognized what the Lord wanted, was doing and what the Lord wanted to do, and he made a kindness. And he made a pact with David, and it was a pact of kindness and of love, which was essential ingredients of the covenant. Kindness and love. That's the way we ought to be with God. That's the kind of covenant that we all need to make with God. We need to love God as our own soul. Jonathan recognized that God had his hand on him, and he saw that his father, he had envy, he had jealousy, he had pride, he had arrogancy, he had all those things that was against him, and he lost the kingdom because he didn't stay humble before the Lord. You and I, if we want to be successful, and if we want to make heaven our home, folks, we're going to have to stay humble before the Lord, because true humility comes from God. We don't want to have a voluntary humility. We don't want to have any of those kind of things that the New Testament scriptures speak of, that Paul speaks of over there. But we want to have a true humility. Staying humble, staying pliable, staying workable before the Lord. We want to let Him have His way, do His will here on earth in our lives. And that we can be successful not only for ourselves, that we can be successful for the kingdom of God, that we can promote the work of the Lord here in this world. So let's stay humble. Let's remember that He said, when you were little in your own eyes, when you were little in your own eyes, stay little, stay humble. You know, if God blesses you, so be it. But it's God that blesses you. It's God that gives you the grace. It's God that gives you the strength. It's God that gives you the things that you need to be successful. And if He blesses you, so be it. Let Him bless you. But stay humble before the Lord. And when the Lord speaks to us, and when the Lord prepares the way before us, let's follow His footsteps and let's follow His ways. We'll always be successful that way. You want to be a success? You just follow the Lord and stay humble and pliable and workable in His hands. You pray for me.